times, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead free in one. Oh, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb.
Mercy seat. King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
This is the last service that we will be having in this auditorium. Year 2008, 2009 promises to be a year of challenge, a year that is totally unpredictable about how many different things could develop. But there is one thing that will not change, and that is God. God is on the throne and he does not change. He is forever the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't intend to preach a full sermon tonight. We're going to have a 26-minute video on the subject of prayer. Dr. Edwin Orr, who has been a professor, I was talking to someone earlier, and I'm not even sure Dr. Orr is still alive, because this talk that he gave was given, I think, in 1976 on the subject of prayer. It involves a lot of history of prayer meetings that have touched and changed entire nations. Our sectional presbyter sent me this video, and I watched it in my office the other day, and I thought, you know what, everybody needs to hear and see what this is all about. I just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight before we have the video on the subject of prayer as an appointment with God. Let's look at Acts chapter 3 and 1. Margo, if you'll throw that up there on the screen for us. Appreciate so very much. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. That tells me that in that setting, the ninth hour of the day was the hour of prayer. That would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon if my Bible history serves me well tonight. But I want to tell you this. They prayed habitually. They made appointments to pray. May I just say to all of us tonight that prayer time is the most dreaded time for hell. Do I need to say that again? Prayer time is the most dreaded time that the devil has. Anything the devil can do to keep us from praying, he will do it. Anything. There's an old saying, and I haven't heard it for years, but the old saying goes, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. How true that one is. Much of our prayer time is spent in crisis praying. Our back is to the wall, everything's falling apart. We got to pray. We're in a crisis. We've got to get a hold of God about this. We've got to pray and seek God. Crisis praying. Thank you. Okay. Everybody on the same page here? Okay. Everybody loves ice cream, say amen. Crisis praying. But you know something that's better than crisis praying? And that's to get in a habit of praying at specific times. Praying when you don't feel like praying. But it's time to pray. I'm going to pray. Because it's my time to pray. Someone described it as building a fence around a certain part of the day and reserving it for contact with God through prayer. The early church was a praying church. And let me just go a step further. If church isn't praying, the church is not a church. A church is playing if they're not praying. You're not going to win the world by programs, by powerful preaching, anointed singing, or anything else. Only one thing that hell sets up and takes notice about, and that is when people pray and seek God. The first thing the church did after Jesus' ascension was to have a prayer meeting. Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. When they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. After the day of Pentecost, they prayed. And by the way, if you have just experienced a glorious blessing and refreshing from the Lord, watch out. People have walked straight out of a Holy Ghost service and were tempted by the devil, and they were so relaxed, because the Spirit of God relaxes you. It refreshes you. And if you're not careful, if you're not on your toes, you can leave a Holy Ghost service and go out and do something dumb. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You can do it. After the day of Pentecost, they prayed. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Acts 6:4 tells us that the disciples determined that their main business was to pray and to minister. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. When they faced persecution, they prayed. Acts 12:5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. New churches were started as a result of habitual prayer. That's a good way to start a church. By the way, that's a good way to revive a church that has died, is to start a prayer meeting. Acts 16:13, on the Sabbath we went out of the city, Paul says, by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted thither. And may I say this to the credit of the weaker sex, women, supposedly. There's a lot of churches that wouldn't be in existence today if it hadn't been for a few little old women who wouldn't give up. They kept on praying and seeking God. They were determined. The men were doing other things, but the women prayed, and revival came. Revival came. That's the way the church was started here, because in Philippi there was a church, and it started at a prayer meeting conducted by women out by the river. The church at Ephesus was given this directive. Ephesians 6:18. I skipped one, didn't I? But that's all right. Ephesians 6:18. Well, let's go to that one, Margo, if you can do that. If not, we'll bow back up. Bow back up to Romans 12:10-12. Prayer was essential to the body of Christ. Now we've got Ephesians 6:18 up here. Shoot me, Margo. Shoot me. What do we got up there now? Praying always. Okay, that's Ephesians 6:18. And the point is, the church at Ephesus was given this directed, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The early church prayed about everything. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. Prayer is mentioned in connection with healing of the sick. James 5:15-16. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. During times of crisis, we are encouraged to pray. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. May God help us to be a praying church. I have a lot of loved ones tonight who need God. How about you? We've got a world in disarray, and I can't help but believe that the events of the past few months, pointing on into 2009, God is up to something. He's going to move in a powerful way, the likes of which many of us in this room have never before seen. It's already started. I have people to stop me because they know I'm a preacher and ask me to pray with them. When has that ever happened? I have people to call me, and I'm talking about people in this town that if I would call their names, you'd immediately recognize them because they're prominent people in this town. but they have figured out that the stuff they've got going in their lives that they've leaned on ain't going to cut it. It's not meeting their need. They're beginning to realize that they're sinners and they're on their way to hell and they need help. I just want to challenge you as your pastor to be much in prayer. Have appointed times of prayer. Make appointment with God. And keep it. Amen. It's a funny thing to me that we can make an appointment with a doctor and we can go in and we can wait for an hour and a half at the doctor's office and we can read magazines that came across on the Mayflower that are not, we're not interested in the first place, but we got to have something to do with our time. And we'll sit there and read that junk for an hour and a half and finally get in to see the doctor, and he says, "Have you had this before?" And we say, "Yes." He says, "Well, you got it again." We can wait on doctors, but we can't wait on God. We have been cursed with an entertainment mentality in this country. Entertain me, preacher. Make me feel good. Tell me how great I am, how holy I am. Make me feel real good, preacher. Give me the excitement, the thrill. Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming into a time in the history of our nation, in our individual histories, where we had better know God for ourselves. Don't try to count on some evangelist to come in and wow you. Don't try to count on your pastor to pray you through. I'll do my best to pray for you. I'm not saying that I won't. But you need to know God for yourself. You need to know how to get a hold of God in the clutches. When everything is gone wrong, gone astray, you need to be able to get on your knees or sit in and just sit down. Just sit before the Lord. Have you ever read in the Bible where they went in and sat before the Lord? They weren't kneeling. They were sitting. Just sitting and waiting on God. Get the junk out of your mind, trash, the garbage, and focus on the Lord and spend some time in prayer. America needs prayer. We need prayer. I've got loved ones that need to know the Lord. I've got neighbors I've been talking with for months about the Lord, dealing with them. I'd like to see a breakthrough. They need Jesus. They need to be saved. How many of you have got loved ones tonight that you'd like to see saved? All of us do. All of us have loved ones we need to bring in. We need to see God bring in. Now, I really don't know exactly tonight what to do from this point on, except to ask you for a commitment. And I'm not going to get you to fill out a card. I'm not going to get you to draw blood and sign it in your own blood. But I just want to know tonight, just an honest, not because everybody else is raising their hand, but is God dealing with anybody else in this church about having a prayer life? Is God dealing with you about having a sustained prayer life? If he is, I want you to raise your hand. God bless you. Yes. God bless your heart. If there's anything that I can do to encourage you, to give you any direction as to how to have a prayer life, I'll be glad to sit down with you and thrash it out and say, well, here's how I've either done it, or here's how I've watched other people that I respect know to be men and women of God. This is how I've watched them do it. I'll be glad to sit down and talk with you, any one of you. But the main thing is, probably it's going to boil down to this. You're going to have to get your own system. You're going to have to develop your own prayer life. It may not make sense to anybody else, but if it makes sense to you and God, that's the main thing. Just develop your own prayer life. I pray the Lord's Prayer every day. That's the first thing I pray in the morning. I pray the Lord's Prayer. I do that because that's what Jesus said to do. When you pray, say. Okay, and I pray that prayer. If you think, well, you know what, you can say that prayer in 30 seconds, that's true. If you want to use that as a basis of prayer, let me tell you what to do. Break it down. Start it out, Our Father. Stop right there and begin to think of what you're saying. Begin to focus on who your Father is. Do a study on the Hebrew names for God. There are several of them. Pause at each one of them. Jehovah Nissi, God my banner. What does that mean? That means God's a warrior. The devil's after my hide. God is my captain of my salvation. He's a warrior. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Concentrate on that a while. You sick? Do you need healing? He's my healer. Break it down and call his names in prayer. Elohim, the Almighty God. There's so many ways to pray. Another good way to do it is to sit there for 15 minutes and not say anything. I dare you. We are the talkingest bunch of people on the planet Earth. Am I right? If you think it's easy to sit there for 15 minutes without saying something, I've tried it. And sometimes I make it. But you know what I find myself doing? I find myself thinking something, and there's nobody else around. But next thing I know, I'm talking to myself. I think, you idiot. You can't even get quiet for 15 minutes and get in the presence of God and get the junk out and let God begin to do something in your heart, in your mind. Try it. See what happens. Ask God to lay some soul upon your heart. And when he does, concentrate on that soul. Pray for that soul. Fast and pray for that soul. Seek the face of God for that soul. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate your response while ago when I asked how many is God dealing with about prayer life. We're going to be focusing on prayer this coming month. We're going to have fasting and prayer. We're going to have times that we can get together. I have two times in the week that I have appointments with God. On Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock, there's about 12 or 13 of us now. They come out here and we spend an hour in prayer. We encourage each other. We sing a psalm at the end of it. And we meet with God. Believe you me, the Wednesday morning prayer meetings are 10 times as spiritual as 90% of our services when everybody gets here. I'm not cutting anybody down. I'm just saying it's an honest to God fact. You get 13 people together that spend an hour in prayer, and the Holy Ghost is going to be there. And I promise you, you get 300 people in here, and half of them are wondering whether a cow's horns are before his ears or behind him. You can't really worship God a great deal with people mind going here and yonder, people darting their eyes across the aisle. I can't stand her, that dress she's wearing. That old thing, I saw that thing on sale at Stage. Tight wad. What did she ever see in him anyway? Am I? Repeat after me. I love my pastor. Believe me, I need it. But when people get together one mind and one accord, that's one of my appointments Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, right here in this auditorium. The doors are open. You're free to come. There's nothing fancy about it. We just come in here and we pray. We just wait on God and we pray. It's amazing. What a novel idea. I have another appointment with God on Saturday nights, 7 o'clock, another hour. A lot of times it's me and my wife and my mother-in-law and Susie Cheney. It'd be four of us. But I promise you, the Sunday services are one on Saturday night. They're one in those prayer meetings. There are other times in the week I have times of prayer. Some are spontaneous. Some are thrust on to me because of crisis situations I face. People with needs that come. I mean, brother, I'm going to tell you something. Some people come to you and they've got things going on in their life. You had better be ready to get in tune with God in a hurry. because we've got a needy, needy world. Amen. Well, let's stand together. I really believe God has done some things in our hearts tonight. I believe God's going to do some things in the days ahead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we've come to the end of an eventful year. Lord, thank you for getting us through 2008 and for all the good things you've done, families you've added to the church, the people that we have seen come to the altars and surrender their heart to Jesus, the people that have experienced divine healing. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord, the things you do daily for us, dear God, that we aren't even aware of. Thank you. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to heal the broken. I pray, God, that you'd bind the powers of the enemy that's ruining and destroying lives, homes, hearts, minds. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, in Christ's name, Lord, that you would do such a powerful work in this city, Lord. Dear God, that souls will come to you by the dozens. Lord, that they will come streaming down these aisles to kneel at the altar and receive Jesus Christ. I pray, Father God, that they won't even have to wait till they get to church. God, they'll call somebody in the middle of the night and say, I'm so miserable, I can't stand it. Would you please come over? I need to get saved tonight, now. God, would you move in that fashion again? I've seen you do that, Lord. I've seen you do it before. Will you do it again? Draw us, oh God, close to you. Father God, I pray that you'll help our hearts to be broken by the things which break the heart of God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you to help us to be men and women of God, men and women of prayer. I pray for the youth group, Lord God, that you would move among them in a powerful way, and that you will raise up young people that will know how, Lord, to pray, to seek your face, who will be sober and sound-minded, Lord Jesus, enough that they will want to serve you. Father, that they'll get their kicks out of getting filled with the Holy Ghost, that they'll get their thrill out of the stimulus they receive from the moving of the Spirit in their lives. I pray for them, Lord. The devil is after them. God, I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ will cover them. God, that they will come to know you, Lord, in a greater way than they've ever known you before. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, God, that the Holy Spirit would lead us from this point on into the higher heights and deeper depths that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God love you. God bless you. Peace be yours.